American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, March 14th, 2005. It's Monday. We got a whole week ahead of us. And so you are going to be needing Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against the corporate political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. If you don't happen to believe that corporate political tyranny is trying to enslave you, I would highly suggest that you open your eyes, go into the bathroom, look in the mirror, and tear a strip off of yourself. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, which name I may or may not have changed, but at this current time, it is known as Secret Message. You know, it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say something like, oh my God, I can't believe how fucking stupid some people are. It seems that there's been some problems with our email server in that suddenly I'm not able to receive email. And since Sim is back from Cuba later today, after I finish recording this, I'm going to go pick him up. The minute he gets off the plane from Cuba, I'll be like, where's my cigars? And the email server's broken. Go fix it, you little bitch. But unfortunately, as it stands right now, I cannot receive email. So watch on my LJ. No doubt it'll be fixed in no time at all. So I would probably mention it. But if you sent me email over Friday and Saturday or something like that, I have not received it yet. Last email I got was on Thursday. I can give you the exact time. And the last email I received was on, it seems that I did get one on Saturday. Nope, that was from a long time ago. Where's my last email received? My last email received was at 4:17 p.m. on Thursday. That was the last time I received an email. So we don't know what's going on there. I'm sure that if anyone is sort of started stealing my email or is taking my email or whatever, I will absolutely be able to find out. If we find out who that is, I'll let you know. But until that point in time, don't really know. Sorry, can't really help you out too much there. So moving straight along into the news. Now, a while ago, I was talking about the bankruptcy laws. You know, they're going to change laws in the United States to get rid of your ability to get rid of bankruptcy. Because, of course, the number one goal here is to keep everybody in debt. The more in debt you are, the harder you have to work. And with inflation, your money becomes worth less and less. So what happens is you have monstrous debt load that you can't escape, and your money isn't worth anything. So what you have there is enslavement. This is how this works. This is why the privately owned Federal Reserve in the United States, notice it's privately owned, it is not federally owned. So in fact, it's called a Federal Reserve, is kind of nuts. And even though I know it's unconstitutional for your Federal Reserve to be privately owned, it says so right in the Constitution, it is in fact privately owned. So these people, if the privately owned, corporate-owned Federal Reserve are setting these rates, which purposely drive the money down and therefore make everyone slaves. That's how it works. Makes for a very good, you know, indigenous slave population, good workers, all the rest of it. But anyway, one of the big things to get by all this is if you go too far in the hole, you have bankruptcy, right? So you can just, you know, declare bankruptcy, you're fucked for the next, you know, 7 to 9 years, depending on where you are. And then, you know, gradually you can try to, you know, dig yourself out of this hole and try to purchase things and get food and, you know, a house and a place to live and all that good stuff. But now the Senate has passed legislation Thursday that will make it harder for Americans to rid themselves of debt by filing bankruptcy. The House is expected to pass the measure next month, delivering to President Bush the second victory this year in pro-business legislation he had sought. Now, this is, you know, what a shock. President Bush is doing shit for big business. Whoa. The vote was 74 to 25 to approve the most thorough overhaul of the bankruptcy laws in a quarter century. The short answer is fairness, declared Senator Orrin Hatch. Now, that's rich. Orrin Hatch talking about fairness. Yeah, you go, Orrin. The representative from Utah. Those who can pay their bills should pay their bills. That's the American way. Yeah, I'm not even going to touch that one. Congressional and industry backers of the legislation have been pushing for it for 8 years, but it repeatedly got stalled. This year, with Republican majorities increased in both the House and in the Senate, last November's elections, the bill's fortunes reversed. Before the vote in Senate, before the vote in Senate, deliberations over much of the last 10 days, majority Republicans knocked down Democratic attempts to ease the impact of legislation on people facing huge debts they cannot pay down, including single parents, the unemployed, and the ill. But as everyone knows, who gives a fuck? Who cares about the sick and the injured? Because it's, you know, the law of the jungle out there. You know, we're in a society, if they can't pay their bills, fuck them, they get to die in the street. The Senate instead handed Wall Street investment firms a bonus, defeating a Democratic amendment that would have restricted their ability to work for companies both before and after those companies file for bankruptcy. Great. Senators acted against the advice of the Securities and Exchange Commission, so who gives a fuck about them? Chairman William Donaldson, who is the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, who said that such a restriction was needed to build up investor confidence, shaken by Enron, Worldcon, and other corporate scandals where these people, you know, rip off everyone for their retirement funds. So what we have here is we have companies like Enron, Briex, all these kind of guys who rape the average consumer of their money, which they're trying to invest so they don't have, they can retire and not work anymore. So we have these companies raping these people, and then after they declare bankruptcy and die and all this kind of shit, now the average consumer. Now, one of the major amendments to this bill that got passed, which I don't cover in this article, of course, is people who get fucked due to medical bills. Because most, what is it, like 49 or 50% of all bankruptcies filed in the United States are due to medical reasons. Somebody gets sick, somebody goes down, you know, whatever, and they get tied into the sickness industry. And, of course, the sickness industry just milks these motherfuckers because, of course, they got them over a barrel. So now it looks like that legislation is going to get passed. So if I was you, I would start looking very seriously into an ounce of prevention, even though they're trying to put in laws that make it so you can't get vitamins and stuff like that. Even though that's currently in the works to make a prescription like it is in Europe, you might want to make sure you start looking after your health, because obviously there's going to be no hope for you if you get sick. And let's not forget about the United Nations. Now, the United Nations is the most nutless organization I've ever fucking seen. You know, good idea, bad execution, has now just lifted its ban on human cloning. The United Nations has given up its attempt to introduce a worldwide legal ban on some types of human cloning. Which means then that, you know, all bets are off, science prevails, everything's going to go cosmically fucking crazy on the cloning market. On Tuesday, its deeply divided General Assembly voted to adopt a watered-down declaration that condemns all forms of human cloning but is not legally binding. So therefore, it isn't worth shit, like just about anything the UN does, not worth a goddamn. The declaration, which was passed 84 to 34 with 37 abstentions, which what the fuck is up with abstentions? Anyway, prohibits all forms of human cloning in as much as they are incompatible with human dignity and the protection of human life. Okay, you know, there's a few things about, you know, the whole human rights thing and all that, which just, you know, people need to get out of the bedtime story land and really start looking at this shit. But it has been widely criticized for being imprecise and meaningless. Again, it lacks precision, it lacks clarity, and it is certainly not a guide, said Bernard Siegel, head of the Genetic Policy Institute of in Coral Gables, Florida, U.S., which has lobbied the U.N. in favor of using human cloning to develop new medical therapies. It masks the ultimate failure of the U.N. to produce a document with legal teeth. Again, the last thing anybody wants is an overlord, you know, committee like the United Nations to watch over their country. That's the last thing any of these countries want. So naturally, none of these countries are going to give the U.N. any power. The U.N.'s just a fucking hand job. The declaration follows 4 years of fruitless discussion, the postponement of several proposed blanket bans on all forms of human cloning, and a decision to abandon legally banning ban in November of 2004. So they've abandoned the ban they already had for this useless piece of shit that does absolutely nothing. The core of the issue was member states' inability to agree on whether the ban should cover just reproductive cloning, procedure cloned babies, or therapeutic cloning as well. Both involve creation of early embryos by transferring the genetic material from the nucleus of the cell of an egg to which another nucleus has been removed, blah, 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 blah. Reproductive cloning is condemned by critics for ethical reasons because of the predicted risks to the health of the clone. Well, they're owned, right? I mean, you can't copyright humans yet, but, you know, provided we can just make them not human, eventually, you know, they're working on that whole cloning hybrid, animal hybrid thing for copyright purposes. So it won't be long before we'll have an army of slaves. Personally, I just think we should do the same thing they did with the mice, you know, where they were putting the human brain cells in the mice to do experimentation. We should just do that to apes, and we'll enslave them. And we'll have, like, all these ape servants that'll work for us. That'll be cool. And then gradually, you know, we'll have them everywhere. And we'll have a perfect society of slave apes. What could possibly go wrong there? Anyway, in contrast to the therapeutic cloning, where embryo is grown for a few days or weeks in order to harvest the stem cells, okay, harvesting humans, bloodstained rabbit much, is believed to have great medical potential. Cloned stem cells would not be rejected after implantation to the original donor. So what's happening there is, hi, I'm me. I've got, you know, a big wad of cash, and I'm going to go be, say, a soldier or a merc or something like that, working for South Africa or Blackwater or something like that. So before I go, I want to make sure that, you know, while all the razor are sharp steel and all the shit's running through my body and my lungs and everything from all the germ warfare, I'd like to have a clone made up so I've got, you know, an organ bank that I can draw on in order to get my organs back in case something goes fucking shitty and I need to make sure I get new kidneys or whatever. I've got my clone on ice that I can just come back and get the organs from. That's now legal. However, for many people, the destruction of an embryo for any scientific purpose is unacceptable. That's because these people are stupid. As a result, 84 nations, including those in the U.S., wanted to ban on both types of cloning, voted in favor of the declaration. I applaud the strong vote in the United Nations General Assembly today, said the U.S. President George W. Bush in a statement released by the White House. Human life must not be created for the purpose of destroying it. Even still, dude, even though, you know, we got a president of the White House who is a self-admitted born-again Christian, and in saying so, also believes in end times and the whole process of, you know, the war at the end of time and the Christ's return and all that psycho shit. If he wants to buy into that, that's great. But personally, I think we should be able to do medical experimentation to keep people alive. You know what I mean? I don't want to have these clones suffer and stuff like that, you know, but if they're apes, who cares? That's my whole point. Symptomless bird flu, also in the news. The incidentally, just in case you're wondering, I am kidding about the ape thing. The H5N1 bird flu virus might be acquiring a greater ability to spread from humans to human, recent cases in Vietnam suggest. Now, anyone looking around, it's like the SARS thing. Everybody was freaking out about SARS. SARS here, SARS there, SARS everywhere. Holy fuck, it's SARS. Well, the problem is, though, malaria kills like a few thousand people every year. And what, like 20 people died from fucking SARS? So I'm a little concerned that maybe this bird flu might just be more FUD. It'd be like, oh no, the bird flu. But, you know, so I've been kind of avoiding reporting on it because I think it might be a lot of scare. But there's a few things here that, you know, make it a little bit different because it's symptomless now, which means that if it's symptomless, how the fuck can you tell if you've got it? But as two elderly relatives of patients killed by bird flu tested positive for the virus and yet have had no symptoms, there's also indications that it may not be as lethal as currently thought, or it lays dormant. That's the other opportunity here. What if you got a bird flu, okay, that lays dormant in a person for, say, 2 months? So you got people traveling all over the world showing no symptoms, being carriers with this fucking flu, which lays dormant for a couple months, and then, you know, it suddenly becomes active and you crash and bleed out in 3 days or something like that. That is kind of a nightmare scenario. Now, bear in mind, this story goes along with a later story in the news about this bird flu, so just keep up with me on this bird flu thing. The 2004 outbreak of H5N1 in Vietnam stopped in the spring after the country killed millions of infected and exposed poultry. But the outbreaks resumed in December, probably because the virus persisted in ducks, showing no symptoms. Fucking ducks, say flu experts. Since December 22nd, people have tested positive for H5N1 in Vietnam, of whom 14 have died, including one woman from Cambodia. Now, 14 people to have died just in one country from a bird flu, that's a little bit heavier than SARS. 5 of the cases occurred in clusters that suggest the virus passed from one person to person. The most recent, a 14-year-old girl fell ill on 14 February, her 21-year-old brother on 21 February, and 26-year-old male nurse who cared for the brother on the 26th of February. Uh-huh. It's now March. Okay, so she died within 30 days of getting this fucker. Spread of the virus to healthcare workers should be worrying, says leading flu expert Robert Webster in the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, U.S., attending a conference on microbial threats in Lyon, France last week, he told New Scientist. That's where we'd expect to see the first cluster if the virus starts spreading among humans, because, of course, the healthcare workers, they start picking up this shit, too. Viruses are scary. This is what happened in 2003 with previously unknown respiratory virus SARS, sudden acute respiratory syndrome. Mind you, 14 people to drop dead like that, that's a little higher than normal. Now, also bear in mind that we found this strain of strange flu, which was developed in 1937, in pigs in Taiwan. Now, they sort of said it was probably a lab accident that this fucking flu got in pigs in Taiwan, even though it's listed as a man-made flu. I'd be a little concerned about, you know, bioterrorism being used. Understand, bioterrorism has been a fucking tool of occupational forces since time began. Everybody used it. We used it on the Indians. You know, you have some blankets. You know, murder the entire Indian populace. Bioterrorism is just the way to go. Now, there's another piece of news here where a group of engineers has offered a solution to people who want a direct line to aliens by broadcasting their phone calls directly into space. People wanting to contact extraterrestrial beings through new www.talktoaliens.com can dial a premium U.S. number to have their calls routed through a transmitter and sent into space through a 3.2-meter-wide dish in central Connecticut, United States. The service, launched on the 27th of February, will cost $4 a minute, says Eric Knight, president of the company. He has a large radio receiver, like the Arecibo dish in Puerto Rico, situated on a distant planet, might be large enough for alien civilization to receive the calls. A dish that size on an alien planet might be large enough for an alien civilization to receive the calls. The company is not aiming its antenna at specific stars, but with the potential to harbor life. Rather, they have opted to track across the Milky Way galaxy to cover a host of nearby stars. Yeah. The nearest star to our solar system is 4 light years away. Unfortunately, I suspect the customers of this service have little hope of getting their message across, Rose says. Now, you got to understand here that you think that if I came to you and said, I'm going to start a service that broadcasts, you know, my phone calls to space aliens, you know, you wouldn't think I'd make any money. But apparently, this guy's getting hundreds and hundreds of phone calls of people about, you know, three or four minutes long. You know, I think... And they're trying to set it up so you can send digital photographs and videos out into the void, you know, to talk to fucking aliens. Now, the funny thing here is, I've been doing a lot of thinking about the whole alien issue. Okay, I've got some issues with this whole alien thing that's going on right now. Okay, first of all, let's assume for a moment that aliens are real. Okay, we're going to go with the whole, I know we're not going to get into the argument of whether or not these people are full of shit, but let's assume that not all, but some of these alien abduction cases are in fact legit. Okay, we've got aliens here, they're flying around, lots of sightings, lots of shit going on under the sea, lots of people seeing stuff, blah, blah, blah. Now, my question to you is this. Now, check this out. We, as a savage childlike race, in the grand scheme of things and, you know, the whole advancement of civilization, we came up with the Geneva Convention, right? This is like our big document that we push out saying, you know, this is like, you know, fundamental human rights. These are the, you know, these incredibly childish concepts we've cooked up that we think are good, right? Human rights, Geneva Convention. Now, let's say you and I are neighbors, okay? You don't know me, you've never met me, blah, blah, blah. And during the night, I come over to your house while you're sleeping, drug you, cut up your cat, impregnate your wife, and shove shit up your ass, and then leave. Okay, and while I leave, I put some graffiti on your lawn. Now, when you wake up the next morning, are you going to take that as a positive thing or a negative thing? Quite universally, I think that would be viewed as a negative thing. So if there are fucking aliens out there running with the natural law of consumption, you know, big fish eating little fish, fire consuming wood, all that kind of jazz, wouldn't it seem sort of obvious to you that quite probably these aliens are doing negative shit? If they're picking us up like farm animals and shoving shit up our ass and cutting us open and stuff, does that not appear to be somewhat violent to you? Does that not appear to be a warlike thing? The last thing I would want on this planet is to have these motherfuckers show up in my backyard. Why would they want to make contact with us? Why would any alien race want to seek contact with humanity? Because there's a lot of things on Earth they might want, like the whole fucking planet, okay? We got water, we got some nice trees here, we got the best-looking women in the universe. You know, chances are, you know, there's a lot of resources here that these fuckers could want to take. Now, assuming, of course, for those of you who believe in aliens, believe we have contact, you've got to look at the issue that this is quite probably just the beginnings of an invasion force. They probably don't want to take us on in a land war because they're little stick people. They're only 4 feet tall. You know, in this corner, we have a buff gray alien. In the other corner, we've got Goldberg. You know, who's going to come out of that on top? You know, quite obviously, we are a savage, warlike race, and if we get their technology, we're going to stomp on these fuckers. So, you know, they're being very covert in how they come in and abduct people. You know, they're cutting all the assholes out of the cows and everything else. So it seems kind of fucking weird to me that these aliens, you know, won't even adhere to the very basic fundamental human rights of the Geneva Convention. You know, we sort of like kind of poo-poo that. It's like, well, whatever. You know, they're just people from the southern states that are getting abducted and shit shoved up their ass. So it doesn't, they're not like real people. No, dude. I mean, I don't care if they're from a trailer park or not. You know, no one has the right to be violated in that way by aliens. I just think that's totally fucking wrong. And quite frankly, I'm surprised that there aren't more people out there, you know, calling out, like, why, if aliens are making contact with us, and we're all like, you know, oh, hooray, interstellar contact. Well, dude, if they're making contact with us, what's the contact? These people aren't leaving fucking flowers on our doorstep here. They're shoving shit up our ass, okay? They're implanting people, okay, with weird microbes, and they're doing medical experimentation on people that's completely fucking them over. So is this alien contact a good thing or a bad thing? And there's a growing number of people that are starting to clue in to the whole tactical aspect of, you know, what these fuckers are doing. Now, I just don't understand it. It's like, we want to, you know, let's give away our position on a you know, interstellar level. I don't know if this is really such a fan-fucking-tastic idea to be broadcasting our location, any, you know, sort of like star-traveling warlike race that might be out there. Maybe that's paranoid. Maybe it's paranoid. I could accept that. But, you know, generally, you know, if there's not a lot of life in the universe, so life on this planet would be a rare thing, and I just don't want to see my neighbors getting harvested. That's just me. You know? I don't know. Now, there's a new spyware bill coming in. A key committee of the U.S. House of Representatives unanimously approved anti-spyware legislation Wednesday that includes revisions designed to make a bill more palatable to business interests. Everybody caters to business. H.R. 29, the Securely Protect Yourself Against Cyber Trespass Act, or SPY Act, is sponsored by Mary Bono. It aims to prevent spyware purveyors from hijacking a homepage or tracking users' keystrokes. It requires the spyware programs to be easily identifiable and removable and allows for the collection of personal information only after express consent is given by users. Now, I reported on this before, where I was talking about this bill going through. It looks like it's going to happen, though. The bill is exponentially increases fines against abusers, authorized the Federal Trade Commission for violations up to $3 million per infraction. To my mind, invading a person's computer is no different than breaking and entering a person's home, says House Commerce Committee Chairman Joe Barton. Those who do it are crooks, if not strictly burglars. I want the FTC to go after them with a vengeance. This is what Joe Barton says. Some technology companies concerned with the overzealous anti-spyware legislation could sweep up legitimate software into its dragnet have in recent weeks successfully lobbied for changes in the narrow the bill's scope. Yeah, like large scope with shit like this, they kind of tack it onto the paranoia. And, of course, none of these governmental types have any clue about what software really does, so it's kind of easy to sell them this weird bill of goods. In February, Representative Clifford Stearns from Florida, chairman of the Subcommittee on Commerce, Trade, and Consumer Protection, attached an amendment, I don't like these amendment attachments here, that would exempt software cookies, include third-party cookies, from the spyware definitions covered by the bill. Now, I covered that last time. The amendment also exempted embedded ads on web pages from the bill's requirement that online ads, often pop-ups that appear without a site sanction, include identifying information so consumers can find and remove the software chasing them. Well, the thing is, though, is that everybody knows that these email, like spam and stuff like that, they have that name at the end of the bill that says, if you want to remove this, just send an email here. Well, if you send an email there, chances are you're fucked because they take that email you sent and then they rebroadcast it, blah, blah, blah. You never, ever get rid of this fucking spam. On Wednesday, Stearns introduced a new amendment that would create another exemption, this time for web beacons, HTML and JavaScript that facilitate the ordinary construction of web pages but don't monitor a consumer's behavior or gather information about those users. Such code wouldn't be considered spyware under the bill's new provisions. Well, if you want to remove spyware, you're going to have to make a bill that gets rid of spyware. But the problem is what do you define as spyware? It goes on and on, around and around. Now, remember when I was talking about the avian bird flu? Remember I was talking about that? They're talking about, you know, bioterrorism and things like that. Check this out. According, now it can be told, the USSR was making plans to invade where? Australia. Soviet sabotage agents planned to leave vials of lethal bacteria at Western military establishments, including an Australian naval base, a former KGB spymaster has said. The scientist, Alexander... good luck on this one. Kuzumov, Alexander the Spy, said agents prepared sites where the files would be placed, ready to poison military figures, civilian settlements, and political leaders in the events of war against the Soviet Union. Dr. Krumarov said he was required to evaluate the effectiveness of the sites. I remember one of the operational files given to me for analysis, 5 pages of type text with attached diagram and clandestine photos of places selected for dead drops close to a naval base in Australia, which was used by the U.S. Navy. Although we would not identify the base, which is funny. You know, I'm an ex-KGB spy. I won't tell you what base it is, but I'll tell you there was a base. You know, if you're going to come clean, you may as well just fucking come clean. It is almost certainly Townsville, a naval port much used by the U.S. Navy. I had to evaluate whether the places selected were suitable for infecting or poisoning the naval garrison, though, for example, through a local water supply, or by using transport entering the base, through the dispersal of bacteria near air conditioning and ventilation systems. He was a member of Department 12 of Directorate S, the part of the KGB that ran deep cover spies around the world. Well, if he was actually part of that, I imagine him being, you know, sort of forward and forthcoming about that would put him on the to-kill list for the KGB. In his book released on the weekend, Biological Espionage, he makes stunning revelations about the penetration of U.S., British, and other biological research programs. Mind you, there is no way to verify anything that this motherfucker says. The book says the U.S. and Britain's most guarded germ warfare secrets have been known to the Russians for decades, and spies continue to operate at the heart of the West's biotechnology industry. Dr. Kumarov, that's totally not his name, but that's what I'm calling him, reckoned as many as 60 agents were operating against Western biological programs at any one time, for at least one package of live biological samples was being sent to Moscow from Britain or Germany every month. Dr. Spyguy said that in the early 1990s, at least two of his colleagues who regularly handled these packages died, suddenly in mysterious circumstances, presumably from leakages of the deadly contents. Or maybe the KGB just said, you know what, we're going to be wrapping things up, so let's get rid of loose ends, which would be my greater bet on that. Now, normally something like this would fall into the yeah, fuck, whatever category. But you got to bear in mind that biological terror is something that is highly effective. If you're separated by a large body of water from the country you want to fuck over, there are those out there just think, oh, well, whatever, we can contain it. Let's just poison those guys. You know, if the virus mutates and wipes out the whole planet, then whatever. But, you know, there are nutbags out there who will do this shit. So this is why sometimes, if more than any sort of other threat, I think the bioterror threat is fucking, that's the one that scares the shit out of me. That's the one that keeps me awake at night. Now, I'm going to piss some people off with this story. It's about a taser story, taser probe. Amid growing outrage, Orlando police asked the Florida Department of Law Enforcement on Wednesday to investigate why an officer used his taser twice on a restrained man in a hospital bed to get a urine sample. Anytime an issue becomes potentially criminal in nature, we ask someone else to become involved, Orlando Police Chief Mike McCoy said of the request, which is usually reserved for police shootings. Meanwhile, officials with Amnesty International, good organization, okay, generally a good idea. But the guys with Amnesty International USA, a human rights group that has been critical of police using the shocking devices, compared the incident of behavioral to former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein's regime. That's a bit of a stretch. Local defense attorneys also echoed Amnesty sentiments while suggesting the officer and the hospital may be criminally liable for what happened last week. This certainly falls within any international definitions of torture. Now we're getting out of control, said Gerald LaMille, Deputy Executive Director of Amnesty International USA. Okay, now here's where we're starting to lose common sense. McCoy, who's the other fella, said that no one should jump to conclusions ahead of the FDLE review. So we got to figure out what's going on here. Any attempt to sensationalize this event without letting the investigation speak for itself won't do anyone any good. True, we pride ourselves on the credibility we have in the community. Now here's actually what happened. After being arrested on drug charges last weekend, Antonio Wheeler, who's 18 years old, told police he had consumed cocaine. He confessed, "I'm on coke." Okay, and anybody on coke is a bit of a handful. And was taken to a Florida hospital in Orlando. So I'm going to assume he's 18 years old. Okay, as it says this, he's 18. He's on coke. So I don't know how big this guy is. I don't know if he's a big 18, because there's some 18-year-olds who are like kind of linebacker material. You want to watch that. So while he was there, he was asked at the hospital to provide a urine sample. He didn't want to do that because he didn't want to pee in a bottle for some fucking reason, even though he's under arrest and he's in the hospital. When he failed to do that, the hospital officials, which is their legal right, because this guy, you know, he's confessed, he's under arrest, he's got some problems, okay, they tried to insert a catheter to get this guy's urine, which means they essentially stick a tube up your dick. He was handcuffed and strapped to his hospital bed. When he continued to resist and covered his genitals, okay, now they've got to get this urine sample from the guy. Orlando officer Peter Linenkamp used his taser twice and other forceful methods to compel Wheeler to release his penis, according to the police report. Now, They're all bitching out because the guy tasered them. Now, okay, you got to look at this from another perspective. You got this 18-year-old kid who's under arrest because he's breaking the fucking law. He's already told you he's coked out. He's already said that he's on coke. You got to get a urine sample from this fucking guy. You're the authority in control here. Win, lose, or draw. Now, any human being at that stage of the game, okay, would go, sure, I will submit a urine sample to you. Okay, I've already confessed. Now, understand, he's confessed, okay, to doing drugs. All right? So he's now doesn't want to give a urine sample. The only possible fucking reason why he wouldn't give a urine sample is because he's on other drugs other than cocaine. Okay, which are probably illegal. So the cop says, you got to pee in the bucket. You're not peeing, whatever. So the cops, the hospital is going to insert a catheter to figure out what this guy on. Understand also that we don't know whether or not this kid could be, he could have been hallucinating. He said he's on coke. Okay, so his judgment is impaired. Okay, he's probably on other drugs, but that's a probably. So we're going to assume he's just on coke. Well, any cokehead will tell you that they're a fucking handful. People on coke are a pain in the ass. I have to wrestle with people on coke on a fairly regular basis, and they're a pain in the butt. All right? So the cop is sitting there. The doctor's, it's not the doctor's job to try to control this coked out freak who's under arrest. So what's the cop's options? I mean, you're already handcuffed. The guy's being a psycho. So what's he going to do? Take out his nightstick and start beating the fuck out of him? No. He applies some voltage to the guy. It's not permanently damaging. There is not a lot of scarring left over afterwards. And if something goes wrong with the taser strike, you're in a hospital. So I don't really think this cop was out of line. Everybody gets fucking crazy about the cops using tasers, and my response to you is, dude, what's option B? I'm happy about the cops using tasers. I am. I'd sooner get tasered than I would get nightsticked. Compare the fucking two. What would you rather have? Be shot by rubber bullets or tasered? Okay, you can walk away from a taser strike. All right? You're fine. Next day, your muscles are sore. You're okay. You get worked by a fucking nightstick? Okay, dude, you're talking about, like, reconstructive surgery here. As your dental things are all gone, they'll knock your teeth out, they'll break your fucking bones, they got scarring. I mean, it's really damaging. So it's not that great of a method. It's unfortunate these people get tasered, but I'd sooner see these guys tasered than I would see them nightsticked. You know what I mean? And now Amnesty International jumps in. This is torture. No, he's a bad guy. He's a bad guy doing bad shit. The cops arrested him. They took him to the hospital. They didn't take him to a basement. They didn't tie him to a chair. Okay? They took him to a hospital. The guy's not cooperating. He's giving everybody a fucking hard time. Okay? You got to keep control of the situation. Or else what? You see what I'm saying here? So, you know, generally, this bullshit about people. Now, there are cops who get, give me your license. No, taser. No, that's a bit much. Okay, you gotta, have restraint here. You gotta keep the cops in line that they're not tasering people for no fucking reason. But quite clearly, just from the information I have here, I don't think this could be called torture. You know, last time I checked, the guys in the Abu Ghraibi sort of prison there, weren't handing the guys coke before they tied him up and started fucking electrocuting him. Just sort of as a side point. Incidentally, everyone also who claims a lot of the shit that's going on over there as quote-unquote torture needs to do some research on what the fuck torture is. Because if that's torture, and on the scales of 1 to 10 on torture, 10 being, Vietnam, Second World War, this would be the 1 on that scale. Okay, yes, torture is bad. Yes, it's bad to humiliate people who are in jail. Okay, but let's not get all fucking out of control and start counting these guys in the same camp that we put the SS in. There's more than enough evil out there that we don't need to be painting everybody with the evil brush. Okay, is there some scary shit going on? You bet. Donald Rumsfeld's got his private SS police that report only to him and who are legally allowed to do extra legal activities, i.e. whatever the fuck they want. So that's scary, yes, and we need to address that. But I don't think we should be shitting on frontline cops for using non-lethal means to handle cracked-out freaks in a hospital. Just my own personal fucking thoughts on the issue. So come on here. The cops are not the problem here. Okay, they are just merely enforcing the law. Change the law. And I'd sooner see cops with tasers than I would see them, pulling out guns and fucking shooting people. Okay, what's your alternative there? That's my only question. No, don't take the urine. Well, then you're not exuding control of the scenario, are you? Now, the USA, thanks to this later pullout of an international agreement, now if you're arrested in foreign countries, and if the USA arrests anyone from a foreign country, the USA can now kill people from foreign countries and you abducted in another country. Like, say you get picked up in Morocco for being white and they decide to kill you because you're white and you looked at a woman or whatever fucking bullshit backwards religious law they got over there. Okay, they can now kill you. The Bush administration has decided to pull out of an international agreement, well, not like Morocco honors that shit anyway, that opponents of the death penalty have used to fight the sentences of foreigners on death row in the United States, officials say yesterday. In a two-paragraph letter dated March 7, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, with her amazing teeth, informed the UN Secretary General Kofi Annan that the United States hereby withdraws from the optional protocol to the Vienna Convention on Consular Relations. The United States proposed the protocol in 1963 and ratified it along with the rest of the Vienna Convention in 1969. The protocol requires signatories to let the International Court of Justice make the final decision whether citizens say they have been legally denied the right to see home country diplomat while jailed abroad. The United States initially backed the measure as a means to protect its citizens abroad. It was also the first country to invoke the protocol before the ICJ was known as the World Court, successfully suing Iran for the taking of 52 U.S. hostages in Tehran in 1979. But in recent years, other countries, with the support of the U.S. opponents of capital punishment, successfully complained before the World Court that their citizens were sentenced to death by the United States without receiving access to diplomats from their home countries. Now, since they pulled out of that, that means that if we arrest someone from, say, anywhere, England, and we decide that, we're going to kill them because they're evil or whatever, now we can do that, and they don't have to see diplomats from their home country. This is yet another isolationist move from the United States. And the downside to this is traveling abroad as an American, you are now, this is getting nastier and nastier. You know, you might want to invest in some Canadian flags to put on your shit while you're traveling abroad, because the United States is getting more and more, unpopular around the world. Like it or not, whether or not you're for George Bush or against George Bush, okay, whether or not you're for that, you cannot deny the fact that world opinion of the United States has taken a complete and total cosmic shit. You can't get around that. I mean, it's quite obviously gone fucking insane. So, there's some shit there that we've got to look after. There's some shit going on that you need to somehow try to repair some of these international relations, because nothing's getting better. Now, this next story, if my last story about the tasers didn't piss you off, this next one's really going to piss you off. Death at checkpoints. It is a common occurrence in Iraq. A car speeds towards an American checkpoint or foot patrol. They fire warning shots. The car keeps coming. Soldiers then shoot at the car. Sometimes the oncomer is a foiled suicide attacker, but other times it's an unarmed family. As an American journalist here, I'm going to read the article and I'm going to comment on it here. As an American journalist here, I've been through many checkpoints and have come close to being shot at several times myself, which means that I wasn't shot at, but I'm close to it. I look vaguely Middle Eastern. What the fuck does that mean? Which perhaps makes my checkpoint experience a little closer to that of a typical Iraqi nice try Jack. Here's what it's like. You're driving along. You see a couple soldiers standing by the side of the road. Yeah, which is kind of funny because, they're just standing there. But that's a pretty ubiquitous sight in Baghdad, so you don't think anything of it. Pardon me? Next thing you know, soldiers are screaming at you, pointing their rifles and swiveling tank guns in your direction. Wait a minute, you just said there was a couple of soldiers. You didn't say nothing about a tank. And you didn't even know it was a checkpoint. If it's confusing for me, and I'm an American, what's it like for the Iraqis who don't speak English? Don't worry, I'll get to this. In situations like this, I've often had Iraqi drivers who step on the gas. It's a natural reaction. Angry soldiers are screaming at you in a language you don't understand, and you think they're saying, get out of here, and you're terrified to boot, so you drive your way out. Stop or you will be shot. Another problem is the U.S. troops tend to have two-stage checkpoints. First, there's a knot of Iraqi security forces standing by a sign that says, in Arabic and English, stop or you will be shot. Most of the time, Iraqis will casually wave you through. They wave you through. Your driver, who slowed down for the checkpoint, will accelerate to resume his normal speed when he doesn't realize there is another American checkpoint several hundred yards past the Iraqi checkpoint, and he's speeding towards it. Sometimes he may even think that being waved through the first checkpoint means he's exempt from the second one, especially if he's not familiar with American checkpoint routines. I remember one terrifying day when my Iraqi driver did just that. We got to a checkpoint manned by Iraqi troops, chatting and smoking. They waved us through without a glance. Relieved, he stomped down on the gas pedal. We zoomed to about 50 miles per hour before I saw the second checkpoint up ahead. I screamed at him to stop. My translator screamed that the American soldiers ahead looked as if they were getting ready to start shooting. After I got my driver to slow down, we cleared the second checkpoint. I made him stop the car. My voice shaking with fear, I explained to him that once he sees a checkpoint, whether it's behind him or ahead of him, he should drive slowly as possible for at least 5 minutes. He turned to me with his face twisted in the anguish of making me understand, "But Mrs. Ayanna, if you slow down, they notice you." This is what he says. Now, okay, I'm going to address this issue once and for all. First of all, this reporter is a fucking retard. Any moron in the planet, the entire fucking globe knows that there's a war going on in Iraq right now. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see people with fucking guns and tanks on the side of the road and I'm driving towards them and you have to drive by them because that's where the fucking road is, my initial response is not to stomp on the goddamn gas. My initial response is to stop the fucking car immediately. I'd slam on the motherfucking brakes. Maybe turn around. That would be my initial response. Get the fuck out of there because I'm in a car and they have a tank. Okay, that's my initial response. Second of all, I've been stopped by cops in the United States in scary places where I'm afraid of the cops. So you know what I do? I get real fucking polite and I show my hands and I smile lots and I do whatever the fuck they say and I drive really, really slow. You mean to tell me that, you know, these people, these poor Iraqis are so fucking stupid that they can't figure out with an American checkpoint up ahead that you're supposed to stop? I would sooner stop and let the Americans come look at your car than even remotely risk the fact that you get blown the fuck away. I totally, you know, there's that Italian reporter who said that, you know, she was going to a checkpoint, whatever, and she claims there is no checkpoint, and the Americans tried to assassinate her, which, incidentally, if Americans ever tried to assassinate an Italian reporter, we'd never know about it, because they just simply geek her in the dark somewhere, because they're pretty good at that whole assassination thing. They're going to take out a fucking reporter as an assassination attempt. They sure as shit wouldn't do it with a tank on the side of the road. Okay, they do it with some black ops thing, and she'd fucking be drinking her coffee one day and has a heart attack. That's what would happen there. Okay, so don't go fucking stepping to me. This is purely bullshit. I'm all for peace. Don't get me wrong. I like peace. Peace is a good idea. Everybody likes peace. But don't go handing me this shit about how the American troops are so fucking horribly, horribly, you know, they're persecuting. Fucker, they're trying to stay alive. They don't give a shit. Guys on the ground over there, when they're on that checkpoint, their number one goal in fucking life is to make sure that everybody gets home at the end of the goddamn day. And furthermore, you've got these car bombers hitting these checkpoints every fucking day. You always hear about these suicide bombs going off, blowing the shit out of, like, you know, police stations and checkpoints and all this kind of stuff. Everybody knows that. Everybody all over Iraq knows that's happening. So driving a car towards a checkpoint, you should have that in the fucking forefront of your mind. You should be driving super slow. You should be having a big sign saying non-fucking threat. Personally, I'd invest in a convertible and leave the top down. That'd just be me. But no. These guys seem to think that they'll just drive through the American checkpoint. Are you out of your fucking mind? There's no way you can possibly tell me that these Iraqis who live with this shit every day, that they're so fucking stupid that they can't figure out they're supposed to stop at a checkpoint. And furthermore, if they are that stupid that they happen to drive towards a checkpoint in their massive confusion, and the Americans blow their fucking ass off the backstop, dude, fair ball. That's natural selection in action as far as I'm concerned. Because if these people can't figure out with, you know, in a state of war and there's constant checkpoints, they've seen checkpoints before, stop fucking trying to buzz the checkpoint. Okay? I'm all for honesty in media. Don't get me wrong. Okay? And I'm not taking the fucking war hawk stance here. But realistically speaking, we can't just, you know, totally turn on the troops over there who are trying the fuck to stay alive. I'm all for any rule that keeps our troops alive. Honestly, I am. And if these fucking people can't figure out you're supposed to stop at the fucking checkpoint when they've been to a billion fucking checkpoints, okay, and they decide to what the fuck would you do? You're sitting there with your buddy. You're on a 50 cal. Car slows down. Guns towards your tank. You're like, they're not slowing down. Buddy's sitting there. You already got, you know, you've lost 16 friends because they died in the last blast. You're on the 50. Guy's coming in. You're waiting for the officer to give you the go-ahead, and you're gonna stitch that car like a fucking bad seamstress, man. Guaranteed. I got no fucking problem with that at all. If these people can't slow down at the fucking checkpoints, you know, I'm not saying just open up randomly on cars here, but you got to at least follow the fucking rules because that's why these rules are in place, is to keep our troops alive. That's how it works. That's why war is shitty. So don't go handing me this stuff and saying, oh, well, you know, they don't understand. They understand just fucking fine. They've been living in a state of war for how long? Give me a break. Okay, cut the shit. Don't go, you know, playing all, you know, oh, the Americans are just oppressing these people. Sure, maybe they are doing some oppression over there because they're occupying the country. This is why war is bad. But while you're over there, the number one goal is to keep your people alive. So it pisses me off when people are following military procedure to keep their troops alive. Everyone's like, oh, that's terrible, that's terrible. No, it's not fucking terrible. They're keeping their people alive. That's what they're doing. Hello? Now, apparently there's an honor system in place for downloading, for a new downloading tax. Check this out. How crazy is this? Wisconsin Democratic governor thinks it's not fair that tangible items get taxed while downloads, like music, ebooks, and software, go completely untaxed. So he proposes to rectify this situation by having Wisconsin's 5% state tax apply to internet downloads, which makes it kind of like that famous hoax about how USPs want to charge people 5 cents for email messages, except that it's for real. What a stupid idea. And if you follow this even closer, a little noticed provision of the Democratic proposed state budget would extend the sales tax to those internet transactions, officials say Monday. There'd be no internet sales tax police, however, because compliance would be on the honor system. Good luck trying to enforce that shit. And people will talk about this, and this is all over the news, but it's all honor system. That goes into the FUD category. Moving right along. Spies and terrorist infiltration. Now, this is also something that should be a much greater concern because they're looking for terrorists under every rock. But U.S. counterintelligence officials are increasingly concerned that al-Qaeda sympathizers or operatives may have been trying to get jobs in the CIA and other U.S. agencies in an effort to spy on American counterterrorist efforts. Nothing new there. This has been going on since the Cold War. So far, about 40 Americans who sought positions in U.S. intelligence agencies have been red-flagged and turned away for possible ties to terrorist groups. Officials have said several such applicants have been detected by the CIA. We think terrorist organizations have been trying to insinuate people into our hiring pools, said Barry Roden, a 39-year-old CIA veteran who's a counterintelligence instructor at the agency. Well, that's a pretty safe bet there, Barry. Nothing new going on there, but realistically, people need to look at that. I mean, that's something that, yeah, you know, there's going to be people trying to get in so that they can have deep moles inside the CIA, and there's probably already some there, just like the CIA has moles in other countries. This is part of the espionage game. In other news, the first USA piracy conviction on piracy. Now, this is the first conviction in the United States. An Arizona University student is believed to be the first person in the country to be convicted of a crime under state laws for illegally downloading music and movies from the internet. University of Arizona student Parvin Dhaliwal pleaded guilty. Dhaliwal, what do you want to bet that guy's not born and raised in Utah? You know, isn't that funny that they picked on a guy named Dhaliwal? Pleaded guilty to possession of counterfeit marks or unauthorized copies of intellectual property. Is that what they're calling now? Counterfeit marks. Interesting. Under an agreement with prosecutors, Dhaliwal was sentenced to last month to 3 months. Deferred jail sentence, 3 years of probation, 200 hours community service, and $5,400 in fines. The judge in the case also ordered him to take a copyright class at the University of Arizona, which he attends to avoid file-sharing computer programs. Generally, copyright isn't exclusively a federal matter, says Jason Schultz, the attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a technology civil liberties group. Up until this point, you haven't seen the states involved at all. So that's something, you know, that's interesting that that story's talking about the counterfeit marks. That's interesting. I'd like to see what other states are getting involved with this kind of thing. That's kind of frightening to me. And just in case you didn't know, this should be like national fucking news, but chances are it's not. Today, this was on Thursday, Washington Governor Christine Gregor declared a statewide drought emergency in the state of Washington, directing her emergency drought committee to gear up an emergency command center to track and coordinate responses by state agencies and make sure state resources reach where they are needed, according to the Associated Press. She ordered the National Guard to prepare for combating wildfires this summer and requested legislation to boost drought-related appropriations by an additional $8.2 million. While water shortages won't affect all areas in the state precisely the same way, it seems very likely that all areas of our state will experience at least some level of drought this year, Gregor said in prepared remarks. We need to start taking action now. All of us need to be part of the solution. Now, I'm not too far from Washington State, as I'm only about 20 minutes from the border. There's no snowpack on our mountains here at all. there's going to be drought not only for BC, but there's going to be drought in Washington, Oregon, right the fucking way down to California. And when BC runs out of water, we provide a lot of water to the states. So if you're in the western United States right now, you might want to look at getting some bottled water happening. That might be something you may wish to consider, because there's some scary shit going on with the water supply. A little weird. In the decade ahead, climate studies predict small cascade snowpack will be much more frequent due to global warming triggered by carbon dioxide and other heat-trap greenhouse gases. The University of Washington and Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, a Richland-based federally funded research center, forecast that by mid-century, the average northwest snowpack may be less than half of its historic average. Okay, they're really missing the ball here, because all you got to do is look at the snowpack, and you can see that not only is it half of its regular average, it's fucking gone, man. There is no snowpack. It would have huge impacts, from reduced Puget Sound region water and hydroelectric supply to increased fire risks in forests and less cool water for salmon survival. They're talking about fucking salmon when last summer the entire fucking west coast of the nation just about burned down. Hello? There's some concerns here. Now, today's daily hack is something that is going to be going on, which everybody needs to do, which is turn off your television, how to kill your TV, and reports on why killing your TV is a good thing to do. So check that out. Today's daily hack is a page dedicated purely to the destruction of the television and why that's a good idea. Because we always say, kill your TV, get off TV, TV is a drug. Well, here's some research for you to follow and check that out. Very, very cool. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive in this crazy time. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight for freedom in today's day and age. And they are Anonymous, Topek, Jesse, The Great Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Forley, Timor, Peter, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, WebLife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Darmude, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, and Jason. Thank you so much. And new subscribers this month were Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, and Mark. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca. Special thanks. Oh, wait, click on the donate tab while you're there. Special thanks to some hard netrunners who brought me this data. Astrofix, Sylvanus, Polysci, Ricky Rocket, Foulweir, Psychofish, Nodalee, Dryer, Druidwise, Simaru, Soab, RU, Bonsai, Poppy, Forleet, Silage, and Technology Freak. And thanks again for everyone's assistance in gathering data. And if you have access to sensitive information or any pertinent stories, please email them, and hopefully my email server will be working, to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Panzer Division called Project Kill Ratio. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Today an innocent died. We could have prevented that death. Remember, even a news person is worthy of our protection.
Frightened? We're all going to die! See the truth. We're all going to die! see the truth. Don't be frightened. Don't be frightened. See the truth. It doesn't matter who you are. We're all going to die.
Today an innocent died. We could have prevented that death. Remember, even a news person is worthy of our protection.